good morning. It's good to be in the house of the Lord with you. I pray, God, that God has spoke to your heart as He has mine already as I've been in His presence. Appreciate all the participation from this vantage point, but I pray as well that you have involved yourself and not just been a spectator, but that you've been a participant in worship. And that's what it's about, just calling each one of us individually and collectively to a time of worship before the throne of God. And He is worthy, and we're unworthy. But the Lord has made us worthy through the blood. You have your Bibles, and we'll turn to Luke chapter 23. We'll begin reading in verse 44 and read through 46 and go to the Lord in prayer. And as you're turning there and as you are standing, let me just say something real quickly about what's going on in the first Sunday in May. We're going to be having a revival starting on that Sunday. We're going to have a joint service. It's going to go through Thursday night. And so we want you to be involved in that. We want you to pray and plan on being here and just see what God has to do as we rediscover the purpose of the church during that week. Let's start our spring off in that manner and see what God does in our hearts for the rest of the year. Luke chapter 23, beginning in verse 44, the Bible says, "And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour, and the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, He said, Father, into Thy hands I commend My spirit. And having said thus, He gave up the ghost." Father, I pray that You would bless Your word today. I pray that You'd be exalted. Lord, just take this vessel and use me, Lord God, in spite of myself. Your grace would be sufficient. And You'd grant faith and repentance in this place today that we might be able to behold Your glory. That we might be able to go out that we might share that glory with others. Thank You, God, for what You have done, what You are going to do in the hearts and the lives of those that are present here today for our good and for Your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. We've been talking about the seven sayings of the cross, and today we're going to finish that series. We're going to look at three things primarily out of this passage of Scripture as we look at the final sayings of Jesus on the cross, or the final saying primarily this morning. Now, usually when someone is on their deathbed, the final words that they speak are of utmost importance. And I believe it's been a worthy endeavor on our part to look into the depths of the meaning of the seven sayings of Christ from the central cross. And today we're going to look at what He had to say concerning those last words and three points that I want to impress on your heart. First of all, created spirits by the Father. Created spirits by the Father. Jesus said, "Father, into Thy hands I commend My spirit." And we know that Jesus' spirit was not created. We know that Jesus was born of a virgin, but He lived before He was born. He was not created, but He was the Creator. He was Emmanuel, God with us, but yet He had a spirit. Just like you and I have spirits, just like we have souls, just like we have a body. And I want us to look as we get started in this message and on this primary point, or this first point rather, in Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 1. It says, "The burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord, who stretches forth the heavens and lays the foundation of the earth and forms the spirit of man within him." The Bible says that God created the heavens and the earth. And He created man from the dust of the ground and He breathed the breath of life into them. And so this passage, as well as other passages throughout the Bible, is unashamedly telling us who God is and what God has done. And God created that spirit that makes us different from all of the other created beings upon His earth. Moses gives us some insight in Numbers chapter 16 and verse 22. And it says, "And they fell upon their faces and said, O God, the God of the spirits of all flesh." The spirits of all flesh. That's talking about every human being. God has put the spirit that makes us that unique triune being, created in the image of God, makes us different from all the other created animals and plant life and so forth that God's created. The Bible reveals in various places that you and I are created as a triune being made up of spirit, soul, and body. And it's hard for us to distinguish between the spirit and the soul and the body. But yet we know the Bible says that whenever we die, physical death is described as the absence of the spirit from the body. That's how that the Bible describes death. Death is not primarily, biblically speaking, when our hearts begin or stop beating and our lungs stop functioning, but it is when the spirit that God put in us leaves this earthly body. Without the spirit that God puts in these bodies are just dust. They're just a tabernacle that God has made. And so the spirit that God has formed and put within each one of us is the highest part, makes us the highest part of God's creation. And we are, no doubt, made up, made in the image of God as complex beings. The Bible says that we're fearfully and wonderfully made. And it distinguishes us from animals and links us with God. Animals cannot commune with God. They're created for a purpose and God takes care of them. And God uses them. Jesus, when He was here, He rode upon a donkey and no doubt He ate the flesh of fish and different kinds of animals that He had created. They have a purpose. And the Bible says that God knows every time that a sparrow hits the ground. But we are fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God. We're a complex triune being that God has breathed the breath of life into. And Jesus said, "Father, into Thy hands I commend My spirit." And He gave up the ghost or gave up His spirit and then He died. Now we know that our bodies are important and we take care of our bodies and there is value and there is need in that. But as we study the Word of God, our spirits are of more value and more need of us taking care of. We take care of our bodies. Before we came today, we got in front of the mirror and we made sure we looked presentable and we clothed our bodies and we fed our bodies and we came to the house of God in these bodies. But the spirit that God put within us is of more value and deserves more attention than these earthly bodies that carries around the real eternal person that we are that relates to God. When Jesus Christ died upon the cross, He died a physical death. Jesus' body was 33 years old. His spirit was eternal and is eternal. And He gave up that spirit back to God. And when that body was limp and lifeless on the cross, Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus came and took His body off from that cross and wrapped it up in different cloths and put ointment upon it and took care of the body and laid it in a borrowed tomb. When His body gave up the ghost, Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea, new disciples of Christ, took care of His body. But when He gave up His spirit, He didn't commend His spirit into the hands of man. He commended His spirit into the hands of God. That speaks volumes to the value of our spirit, the eternality of our spirit. Yes, our bodies are the temples of God and are to be taken care of. But how much attention have we paid to the spirit and the soul man that God has put within these bodies? We feed and nourish these bodies, but what about our spirit and what about our soul that is eternal, that relates to God, that is different from all the other creation of God, that makes us able to know God and God to know us and relate to us? The Bible talks about our bodies being in need. And I want you to look in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 as we think a little bit more on the difference in the body and the spirit and comparing the two. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 42 through 44, notice what has to happen for our earthly bodies to be made fit for God in heaven in eternity. The Bible says, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. Talking about our earthly bodies, it is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. Now I want you to look down in verse 49 of that same chapter. It says, and as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. It's talking about our bodies. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. What is it talking about? It's talking about our bodies. Our earthly bodies will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Verse 54, when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. One other verse before we move on. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 23, the Bible says, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our bodies. When God saved you by His grace, He saved your spirit and your soul. Your spirit was made alive to God. Your soul was redeemed by God. And this earth and our bodies are yet redeemed. That is a future promise of God, that our bodies are going to be raised incorruptible and made fit for heaven and fit for eternity. God created our bodies. God created our spirits. There is a difference in body and spirit. Our bodies are how we recognize and identify and relate to one another in this world. But our spirit is how we relate to God. It is the very core of who we are. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 7, it talks about the spirit. It says, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was. Talking about what happens at death to our bodies. It returns back to the dust of the earth. And notice in the second part of that verse what happens with our spirit. And the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Our bodies have to be changed. When our bodies die, we go through, if we die, our bodies go back to the dust through a process of decay. And God is going to raise up that incorruptible body and give us new, eternal, glorified bodies. But when we die, when our spirit leaves our body, there's no transformation. There's no translation. There's no change that is needed. When our spirit, when we draw our last breath, our spirit goes back to God immediately. Our body goes back to the ground. That's why we need to nourish it. That's why we need to pay attention to the spirit and the body. When Jesus died, He left His body in the hands of His disciples, but He commended His spirit back to the Father. There is a greater deal of attention that we should pay to our spirits versus our bodies. The second point of the message that I want to share with you has to do with eternal security. Eternal security in the Father's hands is what I want to speak to you about concerning Jesus in His last words. We see that when He says, Father, into Thy hands I commend my spirit. Into Thy hands, into Thy loving and Thy powerful hands, I commend my spirit. He died as the representative of man that would be redeemed by God. When Jesus lived His life, I'm telling you, He lived it on our behalf. When He died His death, He died and on our behalf. And when He gave up His Spirit on the cross of Calvary, when He commended His Spirit back to God, it was not for Him. It was for us. It was for the Father in obedience to the plan and the purpose of God. His life, His death, His resurrection, even the commending of His Spirit is for you and I. In John chapter 10, verse 29, Jesus said, "My Father, which gave them Me," talking about all of God's sheep, "is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of" what? "Out of My Father's hand." Where did Jesus commend His Spirit back to? He commended His Spirit back to the Father. In the Father's hands, there is security. We are weak in ourselves. Our salvation is not dependent upon us. We're weak, but God is strong. 1 Peter 1:5 tells us about the keeping power of God, the salvation that is complete and eternal and secure in the hands of the Father. It says that we are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Amen? We are safe and secure in the hands of our loving Father. Our Father's hands brings security. When Jesus commended His Spirit, I want you to get this, when He commended His Spirit back to the Father, He was commending our spirit, because it's in Christ that we have salvation that is eternal and secure. And so when He died His death, He died our death. I mean, we participated in that death. We were nailed to the cross. We died in Christ. We were resurrected in Christ. And when He commended His Spirit back to the Father and the safekeeping hands of God, He commended our spirits back to the Father. That gives me hope. That gives me rock solid assurance and security that I am saved, eternally saved, kept by the power of God, safe in the clutches and the grip of grace. I'm telling you, if you are saved today, you are in the hands of the omnipotent One who keeps every saint of God and loses no one. Amen? The eternal security in the Father's hand. If you have been born again, you are safe in the grip of grace. You are safe in the omnipotent hands of the loving Father. The last point of the message that I want to share with you this morning is the blessedness of fellowship with the Father. The blessedness of fellowship with the Father. Notice, and I want you to note how Jesus Christ and the circumstances surrounding Him. He was dying alone. The disciples had deserted Him. The Father had turned His back upon Him. The religious crowd had rejected Him and was sneering at Him and slapping Him and spitting upon Him and making fun of Him. I'm telling you, Jesus Christ was in the circumstances that only few of us can even remotely relate to. But I'm telling you, it did not rob Him of the joy and the communion and the fellowship that He had with His Father. That's why He uses that communing, that enduring term, "Father, into Thy hands I commend My spirit." Why? Because all through eternity and all through His life, in all circumstances of life, Jesus had communed with His Heavenly Father. And even on the cross, as they nailed Him to that rugged cross after having beaten Him, He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And now, 6 hours later, at moments before He gives up the ghost, He says, "Father, into Thy hands I commend My spirit." What we see is that there in no circumstances was Jesus Christ robbed of the fellowship with the Father. That tells me that I never have to be outside of the relationship that brings fellowship with God. Never do I have to be robbed of the joy of fellowship that my eternal relationship with the Father that is secure that I have. Amen? Jesus did not. While He was agonizing physically on the cross, while the angry, hate-filled crowd mocked Him and said, "Crucify Him," and made fun of Him and did not adore Him and worship Him as He deserved, yet Jesus had fellowship with the Father. Amen. That tells me that you and I have a wonderful privilege of fellowshipping with God on Sunday morning and Monday morning and every night and every day and every waking moment, every moment of our lives. We don't have to have our fellowship interrupted by circumstances in our life. In fact, sometimes the worse the circumstances are, the sweeter and the better our commune with the Father is. I'm telling you, Jesus did not walk through this life without trials and tribulation. We cannot even imagine. I am astonished when I read the Gospels at how Jesus woke up with a problem-filled day and how that He met opposition along the way doing the will of God, but yet He had joy in the journey. He had peace with God. He had fellowship with the Father. He walked as a representative man so that you and I might know that Christ in us, the hope of glory, gives us the power and the privilege to know God in the midst of trials. We can fellowship with Him and know Him. I don't know what you're going through today, but I know that if you know God, you don't have to be separated in fellowship from God because your circumstances are not good. Amen? Because God is there with you in the midst of the trials and the tribulations of your life. I'm telling you, even at the hour of death, there is communion. Jesus was nailed to His deathbed, and He had communion with the Father. He prayed, no doubt, without ceasing there upon the cross, and we get to hear some of His thoughts uttered from His lips, written down on the pages of eternal Scripture. And I'm telling you, Jesus Christ, when He spoke of these words, it reminds you and I of the reality of our relationship with God that is real and personal and continual, and nothing shall separate us from the love of the Father. We are gripped by the omnipotent hands of grace. God saved us, and God keeps us saved. God has justified us. God is sanctifying us, and one day God is going to glorify us in the presence of all of the host of heaven. Amen? Praise the Lord. Do you know Him? Are you excited to know that one day you're going to be in the presence of God? Does that get you through the hard days of your life? The bad news, when it comes, do you rejoice that one day I'm going to be in the presence of the One who bled and died for me? I'm going to worship around His throne, and I don't have to wait to get to heaven to find out about God, enjoy heaven, and enjoy God. I can enjoy God right now because He has put His Spirit within me, and it cries out, Abba, Father. That is the adoring, that is the name that is above every name. That word that was on the lips of Jesus as He gave up the ghost is upon our lips as we walk through the trials and the tribulations of life. Amen? In the book of Daniel, we see Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, three Hebrew children that would not bend, bow, or burn. They would not worship the idol of Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar said, no, anyone who will not worship My image will be thrown into the fiery furnace of death. And I'm telling you, we read in Daniel chapter 3, these three Hebrew children, I'm telling you, they were thrown in the fiery furnace of God. They didn't know if God was going to deliver them or not from sure physical death. But that did not keep them from obeying God. And they had fellowship in the furnace of death. Let me tell you what, I don't know what you're going through today, but if you have God in your heart, if God be for you, then who can be against you? I've been through trials, I've been through tribulation, and I know, like David, to some extent, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. I'm telling you, gee, you may be going through or facing the tribulations that this world can bring you, but I'm telling you, you have a God in you that you can fellowship with. If you have been born again by the Spirit of God, God has deposited the very life of His Spirit within you, and you can commune with Him in every circumstance of life. Amen. Amen. I finally woke somebody up. Praise God. Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. We read about this great man, this great prophet of God named Daniel. And in verses 18 through 24, we find out that Daniel was thrown into the lion's den of death. And what did he do while he was there that evening and that night and that morning? He had fellowship with God. God smiled upon him. God had grace in his trial. God visited him while he was there, just like Jesus on the cross. After the trial of eternal condemnation and the darkness had passed from Jesus' life upon the cross, now by faith, he turns back to the Father and he says those words, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." That is indication of sweet fellowship with the Father through the trials of even death. Amen? Daniel was facing that. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was facing that. Paul and Silas in Acts chapter 16 was facing jail and persecution. What did they do? They didn't moan and complain. They didn't pray, "God, get me out of this situation." I'm telling you, they were praising God at the midnight hour. They were praying unto God at the midnight hour. God was entering into their sufferings and their fellowship. Paul said, "I want to know Jesus and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings." I'm telling you, there is communion with God in the deepest, darkest trials of our life as we walk through the valleys of the trials of our life. I'm telling you, God will walk with us and God will entertain that and God will enter into that and God will have fellowship with us and the trials of our life. God will be there through it all. God will carry you through and we can have fellowship with Him in the midst of it. Amen? Praise the Lord. Jesus is facing death on the cross. His last breath speaks of sweet communion with the Father. I want you to think about this as we come to a close. I want you to think about your loved ones that have died in the Lord. The Bible says, "Blessed is those who die in the Lord." I'm telling you, when we die in the Lord, our spirit, when it leaves these earthen bodies, these earthen vessels, I'm telling you, whenever I was pastoring in Oakdale, there was a man that was poor. He didn't have hardly anything. And he couldn't hardly even take a bath. And people avoided him because he... But God did. Amen? God knew where he was at. God owned his body. God owned his spirit. And when his body gave up the ghost, I'm telling you, the very God that put that spirit in him ushered his spirit back to him. His body was cremated. I'm telling you, but one day that corruptible body is going to be raised incorruptible. And you may be here today and people may not know your name. You may die and very few even attend your funeral. But I'm telling you, if you know God, I'm telling you, God will pay attention to your death because God pays attention to your breath. God pays attention to your thoughts. God pays attention to your life. In fact, it is the very God in heaven that I'm talking about that even gives you the ability and the privilege to breathe and to live this life and to have an opportunity to know Him and fellowship with Him. Amen. I want you to think about your loved ones, but I want you to think about yourself. Are you paying attention to that spirit, that very inner part of our being that is invisible by man but visible by God? Dare say we spent hours, most of the women did, men spent less than that, getting ready, our bodies ready to come to church. But how much time did we prepare our spirits for worship this morning? I'm telling you, it begins even after I give the invitation. It can begin as we prepare when we come back and gather together and worship God again next Sunday. It begins on Saturday night. It begins as we begin to focus our attention upon that high and holy day when we come together on the Lord's Day, that first day of the week, that resurrection day, and worship Him. But I want to ask you about your spirit today. Is your spirit alive to Christ? Is your spirit been made alive by Christ, by God? Stephen, the first martyr mentioned in the New Testament in Acts chapter 7, as stones was being hurled at him, as he was kneeling in his own blood, as he was kneeling under the blows of wicked, hate-filled men, he looked up into heaven and he cried out and he commended his spirit back to God. That's what Jesus did. He commended his spirit back to God. These bodies, they're temporary. They're going to go back to the dust. But our spirits are eternal. That's where we need to pay attention of. If we've been risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, not on the things that's here on this earth. For we are dead and our life is hidden with Christ in God. I'm telling you, it's a great thing when saints of God die. When we read in Luke chapter 16 about Lazarus and the rich man, they both died. The Bible says when Lazarus died, the next thing we hear about him is that he is in the presence of Father Abraham. He is in that place. He is in paradise. He is waiting upon Jesus to fulfill His promise for God to bring the Messiah and to pay for his sin. But he had faith in God. He trusted in God and God saved him from his sins. But when the rich man died, the Bible says the next thing about him after he died in hell, he lifted up his eyes being in torment. Friend, I'm telling you, when we breathe our last breath here on this side of eternity, our next breath is going to be in our eternal home. Whether it be a home in glory with God, or whether it be in hell with the rich man, I'm telling you, we need to prepare to meet God. The Bible says, and I close with this verse in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 31, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. We as children of God, our spirits are safe in the hands of our Father. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Jesus said that on our behalf. But for every person who does not know Christ, they're not commended to the hands of the Father, but they fall into the hands of the living God. They fall into the hands. It's a fearful thing, the Bible says, to fall into the hands. Not of our loving Father, but to fall in the hands of the living God. If the living God is not your Father, you will not enjoy those hands of security and blessing. But you will tremble as you fall into the hands of that living God. Do you know Him this morning? Do you love Him this morning? Are you prepared to meet Him today if your spirit was to leave your body today in death? Will you be rejoicing with the eternal heavenly host? I'm going to ask you this morning to stand. I'm going to ask Brother BJ and the musicians to come. We're going to be standing up here and we're going to be receiving those that would come and make a decision known unto us or a request made known to us. And as we sing a verse of invitation, you come as the Lord leads. And only as the Lord leads, only as the Lord prompts, do we desire that you make your desire known and your problem known unto us. God can help you, and we desire to help you to know that God and His help.